Bringing it home tonight, another dad story that breaks from what we've grown accustomed to thinking of as the norm. And it's a next to normal first because it's a duet story. Even though Carl likes German chocolate cake and Carla likes red velvet, they both really like the Beatles, roller coasters, and museums. And here they are with their story of parenthood and the story of fatherhood that crosses time and distance. Please welcome Carl and Carla.
I met my son's father in 1986 at Illinois Wesleyan University. I was a freshman and he was a junior. And I liked him right away. The first time I met him, he had dazzling blue eyes, long, curly blonde hair, and a mischievous smile.
I was really a fifth semester freshman. She doubted that line would work. The first day of my last semester at Wesleyan, my then girlfriend dumped me. This set the tone for the rest of the semester. I dropped out shortly before they kicked me out. But I did meet that girl, the future mother of my son.
Even though we were only together at Wesleyan for one semester, we remained friends thereafter. And we kept in touch with visits and phone calls and handwritten letters and postcards.
My first trip to New York was to visit my friend Carla. She is working on Long Island, working in summer stock theater.
When I fell in love with a woman, Carl was very supportive. My one hang-up about being in a lesbian relationship was that I really wanted to have children. And, you know, how are you going to do that in a lesbian relationship? Well, you need a sperm donor. So naturally, I thought of Carl. And I don't know how many times I asked Carl over many years, but every time I asked him, he said, no, I can't do that because we live so far apart and I want to be a present and involved father.
Oh, the irony.
Carl met his son the first time in 2013. No, sorry, 2006. 2006. I had been with my partner, Allie, for 13 years, and we had tried several times for a successful pregnancy. And so when I finally had my baby, Carl got his very first passport and came to London to see me and my new baby.
She took me to a very English pie and mash shop, as you do. I ate quickly, but Kai was fussing quite a lot. I knew Carla was tired and hungry, but she was having difficulties eating with a squirming child in her arms. So I offered to carry him. Back home, I've got, you know, four nephews to train with, so I could handle one baby for a few minutes. So I took him outside, walked back and forth, and cradled him in my arms.
I was very impressed at how at ease and hands-on Carl was with Kai. A few days later, I took a picture of him holding Kai. We were just in a cafe north of Portsmouth, and he just looked so natural with Kai. And I just wished at that moment that Carl was Kai's dad. And I wasn't even wishing Kai's other mom out of the picture. I just wished Carl could somehow be involved.
And in true male fashion, I was oblivious.
The second time Carl met his son was in November of 2008. Allie had left me for a younger woman. She did not take well to parenting. She was not at ease or hands-on. And as it turned out, having a child didn't quite gel with her idea, her ideal way of living her life. So I booked a trip to the US and wanted to spend some time with some friends so I could decompress and process. And I was looking forward to just relaxing for a few days and having some friends help me look after Kai.
A child's domain is the floor, so that's where you meet them. And that's where Kai and I crashed wooden trains, raced cars, and we even played with Mr. Rat, my hand puppet that I acquired at the Museum of London. About a month after this trip, Carla forwarded an email from her mother to me. Her mother said, you and Carl would be good parents. You and Carla would be a good pair and good parents to Kai. I replied back, was she wrong?
No, she wasn't wrong. I had had a child with the wrong person.
Second chances are rare. I had missed mine the first time when I first met Carla. I was not going to let this slip by.
The third time Carl met his son was in May of 2009 at my cousin's house in Asheville, North Carolina. Carl and I had been dating via Skype, and I needed to test a few things out. Primarily, how did Carl really feel about spending 24/7 with a toddler? Kai was not quite three and definitely not potty trained.
All right, so I'm supposed to say something here about crying and pooping. But what I remember is doing what any good parent would do. I introduced him to lightsabers. And we also went to this truly massive wooden playground where there were towers and bridges and slides. And I've come to evaluate the quality of a playground by just how fast an adult male can run through it without beating his head. Because, of course, Kai's favorite game was, chase me!
All the things you have to do for a toddler. The feeding, the cleaning up, making sure they don't die. Every day, I would look at Carl and I would say, are you sure you want this?
A future of poopy pants. Wet beds, piano lessons, math homework, man-to-man talks. Why not? I had figured out that by the time I was in my 30s, chances were slim that I was going to find a mate that didn't already have a child. And it's not just about the relationship with the woman, it's also with the child. And it's a package deal.
The fourth time Carl met his son was in September of 2009, when Carl came to London for another visit. But by that time, the situation with my ex had become unhealthy and potentially unsafe for me and Kai. And I was already making plans to move to Bloomington. But Carl and I had a couple of very important bucket list things we needed to do in the UK first, like go to Liverpool, home of the Beatles.
Shortly after I got off the plane, I bent my knee and asked, "Would you do me the great honor of marrying me?" With that out of the way, I could resume breathing.
Now, that's really another story for another night. But the important thing at that moment was really to know that Carl wanted both of us. On that trip to Liverpool, Carl and I fell into a delightful rhythm of tag team childcare so that we could look at museums and do all the things that we wanted to do. And it was such a welcome change to have somebody with me who was truly a partner in looking after my little boy.
Kai clung to my arm as we took the train back to London. I'm not sure which of us fell asleep first, him or me. It's not just about me getting along with him. It was also about him getting along with me.
The fifth and forever time Carl met his son was in January of 2010, when my mom delivered us from O'Hare to Carl's apartment on McLean Street in Bloomington. Even though I had gotten quite used to being a single parent by that time, it was a nice change to that first night, especially when Kai woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, still on London time. Carl let me go back to sleep, and he went into Kai's new bedroom and laid down with him in his new bed.
I just remember in that first week, Carla asking, almost apologetically, if she could go for a walk by herself for about an hour. And would I be okay with Kai for that long? Well, I assured her that Kai and I could play for about an hour and be fine, and we kicked her out the door. Now, initially, Kai would introduce me as, "This is Kawo. He's my daddy," as if it was a title. It took about 5 months before he tentatively started calling me by my name, Daddy. The first time he called out for me in the night, instead of his mother, it was so that I could hold him over the toilet as he puked. Earlier that evening, when we put him to bed, he said he wasn't feeling too well, and I asked him to call me. And he did. One last thing. On September 17th, 2012, Kai and I adopted each other. Now, there's many reasons. There's many reasons for this, but the main one is that it was clear that he was my son.
Thank you.